Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I just wanted to take this time and just think about what's going on over the course of this year. I'm sure everyone can think of the things that are going on in their own life right now, but the truth is that 2020 has been a year in which we were not ready for. This is one of those times wherein the uncertainty and the fear that can come up during this time can be debilitating. It can cause us to stand still and wonder about the course ahead, and we spend a majority of our time doing that. But right now, I would like to take this time first after I pray. Just take this time and give us a little bit of hope. This isn't necessarily in the message for today, but just a word of encouragement, a word of hope, just to open up our hearts to be able to hear and receive this message right now. So if you will, pray with me. Father, Lord, I come to you right now, thanking you and praising you, Lord, because you're worthy of all the praise and the honor. Lord, you are sovereign, dear God, and you're working out all the intimate details of our life, dear God, just so that you can bring it to your purposes, bring it all around to your purposes, Father. Lord, whatever you have going on through this year, we know that your kingdom reigns, Father. And we know that your son, Jesus Christ, will be lifted up and that souls will be drawn to Christ. Lord, I pray right now that the things that are on my heart, dear God, would have come from your heart, Lord. I pray now that I would speak the word given to me and that it would go out and we would receive it and apply it to our life, dear God. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. The verse that I'm thinking about comes from Psalms 50, verse 15. And it's really a verse that gives us hope. It's really a verse fitting for 2020. Like I said, this is a time wherein it's unprecedented. We haven't seen anything like this in the recent past. And so the fear that comes up from it is difficult for us to handle. But God has a script. God says that these things work out the way I desire them to work out. And because I have a script, you can rest assured in my faithfulness. You can rest assured on my promises. You can trust that my plans prevail. In Psalms 50, verse 15, it says, "You will call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." That is God's script for our life. That is God's script for this year. In the time of trouble, in the moments when you're unsure, in the time when we don't know what to do, call on me. I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. God has said, in that order, that's how I want you to respond. And that's where I want you to find your hope. I want you to find your hope in the fact that I already have this planned out. I already knew this was coming. And I want you to rest assured in the fact that I am sovereign over all things. So in this time, your troubles are in his hands. He will rescue you. So give him glory. That's just a word of hope. That's what That's what I'm remembering today. That's what I'm thinking about in the moments when I remember what I've lost over the course of the year. The people I can remember. The things that have changed. This verse is helping me, and I hope it blessed you as well. But there's another thing to 2020. Don't do this alone. There is great power, there is great security in not doing this alone. God has not designed the Christian life to be done as a lone Christian, as someone who says, you know what, I don't need anybody else. A lot of times we pride ourselves on our independence. A lot of times we are able to say, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to walk through this and I'm going to get it done. But the truth is that's exactly what the enemy is waiting for. He's waiting for us to think we've come to the conclusion where we can do life alone because it either feels better or seems better that way. But that's not how God has designed life, and that's not how God has designed the Christian walk. Christ did not do his ministry by himself. Any of the major people in Scripture, they didn't do their calling by themselves. And as we remember the theme for the past messages, the games, we remember that the athletes certainly didn't do or compete by themselves. And because of that, here's the word to us. Don't do this alone. Call on God. Ask for his help, but seek companionship. Seek teamwork. There's an African proverb says that if you want to go somewhere fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go together. And the truth is that we find that all throughout Scripture, wherein Jesus tells us to come to him. Or we see him doing throughout Scripture, showing the saints how to do things together. He gave Paul Silas. He gave Timothy Paul. He gave Peter the other brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to do his work. And because of that, we remember them. What we don't remember or even know about are the ones who tried to go it alone, are the ones who tried to say, you know what, I'm going to spread the gospel all by myself. The truth is that it doesn't work that way. And so we find in Ecclesiastes a great verse. It starts by saying, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not easily broken. The first thing we have to remember about this calling to teamwork is that your work with another person is what God rewards. The work that we do together is what God rewards. And we'll see this in Exodus chapter 17, wherein we look at what takes place with Moses, Aaron, and Hur. The victory goes to those who understand the importance of teamwork. It says in Exodus chapter 17, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of a hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses grew tired, they took a stone and put it up under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands so that his hands remained steadily till sunset, one on side, on the other side of the other. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army, and as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites would win. But when he got tired, the Amalekites would win. When he let down his hands, the Amalekites would take over. Here's something you need to know we all can take from this. The truth is that the Amalekites in this story represent physical and spiritual opposition. Physical and spiritual opposition. You see, the people, the Israelites, they were fighting the Amalekites, the actual men who were on the battlefield. They were fighting with them, with the sword, punching, kicking, doing whatever it takes to win the war. But the spiritual aspect of this actually is seen wherein Moses raises his hands and the Israelites begin to overcome, or when Moses lowers his hands and the Amalekites begin to win. You see, the spiritual issue comes up wherein we see how the demonic realm responds to the glory of God. The truth is that when Moses held up his hands, he gave glory and honor to God. And scripture says that the demons, they know God. You see, it's humans who actually have the ability to be able to forget or neglect or reject God's glory. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, nothing in the spiritual realm is confused about who God is. Nothing in the spiritual realm rejects or doesn't pay homage to his glory. And one of the main things that causes the enemy to shudder is the presence and the glory of God. The moment Moses lifted his hands in glory, it had to remind the demons of their place, and they shuddered. The truth is that just the way they fear, that's how we win our victory. The way we win our victory is giving glory and honor to God. But sometimes that's tiring. Sometimes it gets hard, and sometimes the opposition is so heavy on us that we droop and we may fall. But scripture tells us that Moses had two people to keep his hands lifted in glory and honor to God. And because of that, he was able to overcome both the physical opposition as well as the spiritual opposition. A friend, a teammate, teamwork is how we get the reward. It's how we bring God the most glory and honor. There are times wherein physically we may be by ourselves, but the truth is that doing the whole course, going all the way, requires you and one or two others or more. I'm very thankful that I myself can call my wife, or I can call other brothers or sisters in the church and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Here's the opposition that I'm up against. will you help me? And I can't think of any time wherein I have called on the help of friends during a time of opposition and we weren't able to accomplish something, especially wherein it was for the glory and the kingdom of God. And we know that all things that we do for his glory, specifically when we do it together with others. My message isn't going to be long today. It may serve as a reminder. It may serve as revelation. But the only way that we can give glory, the only way that we can make it through 2020, the only way that we can survive the circumstances of our life is to recognize our need for others. God makes us vessels. Scripture calls us earthen vessels. When you think of a vessel, when you think of a cup or a teapot or any type of thing that is a container, it's meant to be filled. It's meant to be poured into. But the other thing about a vessel is that it's also meant to be poured out. And because of that, our job is to allow God to pour into us, the help and the advice of others to pour into us, and that we go into the world and pour out onto the world what has been given to us. Because the truth is that if we take from God and we fill up on God and we fill up on the advice of others, the truth is that it's the same thing that happens with something that you pour into it, any other type of vessel. If you pour water and you leave it setting in a vessel or in a cup, after a while, things will get caught in the water. Bacteria will get caught in the water, and it will begin to become filled with bacteria. It will become stagnant. And so our job is to be poured in by God, is to be poured in by others, and then pour out on others. You see, the people who are pouring into you, the teamwork that you are involved in has a purpose. Now, you may not be pouring directly into the people who are pouring into you, but your job is to take what is given. Our job is to take what is given and pour it out into others. Pour it out into the lives of those who need it around us. 2020 is the type of year wherein this will require us going around and taking care of others' needs. I hear the needs of those who need babysitters. I hear the needs of those who need food, who need comfort, who need reassurance of their relationship with God or reassurance of their purpose in life. It's our responsibility as the believers in Jesus Christ to go into this world and impact it for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ as we're poured into. Pour out. Give freely of your gifts. Give freely of your time. Give freely of what God has blessed us with. And the things that we have lost, God most certainly will replace in some way, shape, or form. He replaces all loss. And it's because of that that we're able to give him glory, we're able to give him honor, and we're able to do the work that he sets before us. Moses would not have been able to do his job in leading Israel if it was just Moses and his staff. Certainly, God could have blessed him with all kinds of power and done mighty works through him. But the truth is that God knew he needed help. And Moses didn't reject the help that God gave him. Now, when the task was put to him, by himself, he rejected it. But when God told him that Aaron would go along and help him, it was only then that Moses began to be comforted by that. And so for us, it's the same thing. What God has placed on our hearts, what things are taking place over the course of the year that are going to require teamwork. Moses or any other character in the Bible didn't do their jobs by themselves. Athletes, they don't box, they don't run, they don't do any of the things. If it's ice hockey, if it's any of those things, whether it's them on the field or on the stage or in the ring by themselves, they know that it is the result of others who have joined in along them in that work that have helped them succeed. The work of God requires teamwork. Don't reject the gifts that God gives us. Jesus tells us to come to him. He says, all of us who are weak and weary, come to him. And he will give us rest, but he also tells us to learn of him and take our yoke upon him. And here's where the teamwork comes in. Because wherein God gives this invitation, he's telling us the secret to life. He's telling us to say, join in with me and what I'm doing. But when you take this yoke, you learn from me on how to do this life. And one of the first things he gives us is the ability to do things together. You see, the yoke worked with two animals. Most of the time you would see this with oxen. And the way it worked is that you would put the two together and you could have one ox that was seasoned and knew the job well, knew how to plow the field well. But if you had another ox that was younger and didn't know and you wanted to train it, then you would pair it with the more seasoned ox. And so what would take place is just by doing the work together, the ox that was less seasoned, the new one, was poured into and became able to do the job. Knew when to turn, knew when to stop, knew all the voice commands of the shepherd or the farmer. And so in this verse, what God is saying is take the yoke of Jesus Christ, learn from him, and be teamed up. Join together with others to do God's work. Because it's only then that we actually learn how to do this life well. We give God the glory. We give him the honor. We give him the praise. Best when we do it together. There's a time for seeking God in his presence by yourself. There's a time for seeking him and maybe there's nobody around. I don't want to pass over that. God's presence when we're alone with him is real. And God prepares us and he helps us. But when we leave that room or that closet or wherever it is that we go to have our personal time with God, he calls us to joining hands with others. He joins us to seeking teamwork with others to get the work done that he tells us to do in that quiet time with him. For those of us who find it difficult to work together with others, this may be more of a challenge than what would normally be the case if someone who kept to themselves. So that's where we have to seek the Lord and we have to ask for his help. We have to ask for his help and say, Lord, this is a difficult issue for me. I'm not good with other people. Or I don't feel comfortable around those who remind me of maybe hurts or pains that I have received. But I want to give you glory. And I want my life to matter in the kingdom of God. I desire the reward that you have. And so because of that, I want to seek you and I want to team up with others. Sometimes we just have to go to God and ask him and tell him about the things that we're afraid of doing. I would say all the time we have to tell him those things. Not because he doesn't know, but it's a part of the relationship with him to seek him, to learn of him, to allow ourselves to be linked up with him so that he can teach us how to do this life well. Again, Jesus didn't do this life by himself. He didn't go to the cross by himself, and he wasn't on the cross by himself. And so how can we live and feel justified if we choose to be lone Christians? If we choose to neglect the scriptures that tell us there's great reward in teamwork. There's great reward in allowing others to pour into us so that we can pour into other people. Like I said, I'm not going to be before you long. This may be a reminder. This may be revelation. But the truth is that God loves you. He has a plan for this year. He wants you to call on him. And he wants you to join up with others and call on him. And as you lift your hands in glory to God, you'll cause the kingdom to be lifted up and the demonic realm will shudder. Give God glory with your life. Join up with others. Do the work that the king is calling us to do. You have your reward. Praise God. Let's go into a word of prayer. Father, you are righteous, you are holy, you are good, you are faithful, you are kind, and you watch over us, dear God. And you're bringing us through this season, Lord. Lord, you're bringing us through these times of uncertainty, Father. And so we choose to give you glory and we choose to thank you, Father, because you're sovereign over all things, Lord. Lord, you have called us to a life that is done well when we are gathered together, dear God, when we come together, when we join hands, Father, when we engage in teamwork, dear God, your purposes come together. Lord, I pray, Father, that in this season, wherein sometimes the temptation is to shut the door behind us and not let anyone in, dear God, I pray, Father, that we would choose to reject that and choose teamwork and choose joining hands together to go all the way with the work that you have for us. Lord, as believers in Jesus Christ, you have called us to a life done connected, Father. And so in the spirit of connection, Lord, you tell us, may we be of one mind, dear God. You want us to be so close and knitted together, dear God, that you want us to have oneness, dear God. And so I pray over this time, Lord, that wherein the temptation is to be alone, the temptation is to take our fears, and our worries, and our hurts, and our pains, and bottle them up, and close and keep everybody out, dear God. I pray, Father, for the strength. I pray, Lord, for others who may see that individual and choose to be a part of their life, or for that individual to reach out and ask for the help that they need. Lord, the work that you have for us to do only works if we do it together. And so I pray, Lord, that we would take the examples of your word and that we would apply them to our life and that we would navigate this year together knowing your script and knowing that we are connected. We're in the body of Christ. We have others who can help us. We join hands together to meet the needs of the community around us. Lord, it's with that in mind that we praise you. We thank you, Father. Indeed, in the time of trouble, we will call on you, Father. This is the time of trouble. We call on you in the name of Jesus, Father. We know and trust, Lord, that you will rescue however you see fit to rescue us, Lord. And before, during, and after, we will give you the glory and the honor you so rightfully deserve. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work that you are doing in and through us. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.